You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got the bad boys here with me. It's good to see you here, fellas. We got three counts for you, so let's start off the first one from eWrestlingNews.com, which titles, WWE wants to have more fans at WrestleMania 37 than the Super Bowl. And as you guys are aware, WrestleMania 37 is looking to take place at the Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. And it's going to be 2 days, and they're going to have fans present. The report says, and this comes, of course, from the Wrestling Observer and Newsletter, that WWE is watching how this year's Super Bowl will go, being that the Super Bowl is also in this same attendance. Now, it's already been announced that the NFL will have limited seating for the game. For their home games this year, Tampa Buccaneers have had around 15,000 fans in attendance. With that being said, WWE will likely do a similar number, but slightly higher than what the Super Bowl draws. Of course, the company always inflates their own attendance numbers anyways. When WWE adds their stage and fans, that would be on the field itself, the show will likely have about 5,000 fewer people than the NFL. But WWE has always sent out a press release at WrestleMania, and the numbers are always 7,000 to 20,000 higher than the actual attendance. By the way, let me stop there. I never knew that they inflated those numbers that high. I'm serious.
When didn't know that?
No, I really didn't.
We've been to so many events and they said the numbers. And we had conversations talking about, you know damn well there ain't that many people there.
But no, listen, when I went to, what was it? Was it Mania? Where was Mania 95, 35? Was that the one in Texas? That was in Texas, right? AT&T?
I ain't go to that one.
Okay. When they said 90,000, it looked like 90,000. I mean, every seat looked like it was nearly filled. And the thing about AT&T is they had standing room that holds several thousand people or multiple floors. So it seemed like it was believable that it was 90,000. But if they're telling me it was really 70,000 because they're inflating their numbers, I'm just...
No, but you know. you're taking two extremes here. Remember, sure. When you have that type of crowd in Dallas, it's easy to just add on 2,000.
Right.
Because of all the standing room, etc.
Sure.
The biggest example of this was WrestleMania 3.
Yep. True. I got you.
Think about you know, when I'm a kid, the sheer number from WrestleMania 3 sounded so unreal.
Right.
To think that there were, you know, almost 100,000 people, you know, but in reality, yeah, they were fibbing, and they can fib because of the fact that, listen, it's not a sports organization.
Yep. Right.
So I always thought the funniest part of the commentary from Jesse Ventura was when he'd always say to Gorilla, when they announced the crowd, he'd say, "And two Gorilla," because of them.
Right.
It's like, you're not in attendance, you're in company. So in some ways, he was making a joke and stuff, but it was an inside rib too, because,
sure,
you know, yeah, he wasn't inflating the number like they would.
Just to continue here with the article, it says, for what it's worth, and I found this interesting, New Japan Pro Wrestling gave numbers that were exaggerated to be lower when Wrestle Kingdom was recently held in the Tokyo Dome. And the idea was that they look better with smaller numbers due to the pandemic. You know, WWE's bragging about having higher attendance than the Super Bowl may not be reflected well. Okay, and then it goes on to say that WWE said... It's said to want to have 30,000 people in the building for both nights. That's crazy. Guys, what's your take on this? I guess it's great that fans are going to be back at at WrestleMania. Normally, like we just said, I've gone to so many of them, and I would love to go to this one, but we are still in this pandemic, and when April comes, I still believe that most won't be vaccinated, and so the chances of you still catching this and passing this to others will still be great. So I'm going to just chill and watch it at home. But what do you think about this idea of whatever the number that the NFL want to have for the Super Bowl, WWE want to surpass it?
I mean, that's just Vince McMahon. This is nothing new. When I saw the article, I was just like, okay, well, in other news, water is wet and fire is hot.
Right.
I mean, it's fucking Vince McMahon and the WWE that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
This is always their MO. They want to, you know, pack the arena with as many people as they possibly can. And then that's not enough for them. They actually have to tack numbers on top of all that shit.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and did it shock you? Oh, do you want to say something, Matt?
No, okay. I was just gonna add one quick thing sure. to that, and that is, you know, one of the things that they've always done well is create the illusion that the company is always bigger than what it really is. Mm-hmm. That's why they've been so fucking successful for 40
True.
Years.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Simon Street, were you surprised when you heard that over at the Tokyo Dome, they actually exaggerated less numbers for Wrestle Kingdom because it makes them look better to have less numbers? Does that sound shocking to you?
I mean, I didn't do the extensive research into that, what was presented in this article, but I don't believe it's too far from the truth, because if you think about it, it's two different type of products. As Matt Michael said earlier, with the WWE, they're always project themselves as bigger than what they are because it works for them. It works for their product. You know, other places it's better to just have a modest number because it works for what your product does. So, I mean, it didn't make no surprise to me. I mean, it made sense. It fit perfectly. The only thing I will add is to your comment earlier about people being vaccinated, is even when you are vaccinated, because I'm about to get vaccinated, they don't know yet if it does one or two things, if it stops you from getting sick from COVID or if it stops the spread. It's still experimental. So that's going to be a huge play in a part of where this article is asking its initial question is, you know, what WWE intends to do for, you know, having people in for WrestleMania. I think it's great that they want to do it 2 days. I could go in a long conversation or rant, hoping that certain things that we've come accustomed to with WWE product with, I call it theatrical matches. I hope those aren't sacrificed, and I hope that they can still put those in some kind of way. It won't be in a live capacity, but yeah, I think it's a good move from WWE. Why not? I mean, shoot for the stars, man. You never know. You might get the small opportunity sliver that you didn't really get last time, and you can maximize on it. And I think that they could definitely surpass the amount of people they could get for the Super Bowl because, you know, worst case scenario, if you can't, Gronkowski is going to be available because he's not going to win with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, just not going to happen. He's going to need some work.
Oh boy. Okay.
What are you talking about? That makes absolutely no sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Everyone listening dumber.
He's I'm just saying they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. Just saying. So sorry, Buccaneer fans. You can hate me all you want. And he, you know, we hopefully get some work in WrestleMania. That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, he got a relationship with him. We'll let you think about that for a while. See, they're ringing in right now. They know what I'm talking about is true. Them Chief fans know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, listen, I just ask you right quick, Matt Michaels, do you believe that we know that they've already started letting fans into these football stadiums and everything, but I guess I'm not too worried about how they spread everybody out in these stadiums, but how's the process getting in? I mean, when I used to go to these shows, everybody was all up on top of each other trying to get in through the door. You can't separate 6 feet apart, you know, getting into these stadiums. I mean, I don't know. What's your take on even WWE still wanting to attempt to throw not just fans, but more fans if possible than the Super Bowl during this time right now?
So I think that there's a little misleading information here. And that is really this. A large base of the fans that are going to be at the Super Bowl is some, I believe, 7,000 people who are frontline workers.
Ah, I think I heard that, yes. Mm-hmm.
So the Super Bowl itself, you're not looking at it from the terms with all the money that goes into the advertising buys, etc. You're not looking at them needing the gate to make money off the Super Bowl. And a lot of the other people who will be going to the Super Bowl are people who are working in corporations that have ties to the NFL that you get the tickets from, where they purchase, you know, $100,000 worth of tickets and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's a different, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that the reason Vince would like more people in to the stadium is because then you sell more merch.
Ah,
very true.
Of course. Yeah.
pretty simple, pretty straightforward and simple. Is it a smart thing to do? I don't know. I really honestly, what you could do, if you wanted to, you could basically have a layout where you have X amount of fans on the field around the ring, and then build behind that your screen of your wall of screens like you have in Thunderdome. So essentially what you try to do then is allow, you know, 5,000 in or whatever you can fit in there on the field, and then sell lottery tickets for fans to watch, you know, from the comfort of their home on the screen like they'd be watching a Thunderdome. That's how I would do it. I just would do something a little different. In all honesty, I don't know what I'm going to feel when you're panning the crowd on your, you know, your long shots, and you're going to be seeing a lot of emptiness. So they've got to really create, how the fuck do you, you know, disperse all these people and still not give away the look of it being half empty.
Right.
Which I think is their always their biggest concern, because right, for years, you know, it's like you fill the hard cam side, and maybe that's how you go. Maybe you don't do, but if you're doing fireworks, you got to have sweeping cameras. So it's just going to be one of those interesting things. I think that in the end, you know, is it really worth it for your production on the basis of, if you do it for this, then what are you going to do for your future shows?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
You know, so, you know, we've never experienced this shit before. None of us know what the real fucking answer is.
Right.
And they're going to try to do whatever the fuck they can do that gets some capital. That's it, man. It's all about money.
Absolutely.
Now, can I ask this one question? Because I did think about when I read this article, I kept feeling that I was more excited about the Royal Rumble than I was WrestleMania. Like, I'm more excited for what's going to happen at Royal Rumble as a show versus WrestleMania. And I don't know.
Well, I mean, they haven't started building Mania. So, I mean, you wouldn't.
But that's why I said, based on what we saw last year, and I know that they had to scramble to make WrestleMania whatever it needed to be last year. But I don't have any expectations for this year.
Yeah, but think about it, though. You got to remember, when they came up with WrestleMania last year, they were already in.
Exactly. The production of
the what they're mode.
Yeah.
They were in a mode for setting up WrestleMania. Yeah. So I bet you don't even remember the excitement level you had after the Royal Rumble and the setup and things that were starting to, you know, take shape. So it just comes down to, again, none of us have ever experienced anything like this in our lifetimes. So, you know,
right.
It might totally
work.
Have done it again. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out.
All right. Well, look, let's go over to our second count. All right. This is from ringsidenews.com titled Joe Biden's new COVID-19 executive order could cause issues for pro wrestling companies. And it reads like this. Pro wrestlers sometimes travel all around the world to make their living. And this might be a lot harder to do very soon, even more difficult than it already was during the pandemic. And that's because President Joe Biden has announced a new executive order on promoting COVID-19 safety in domestic and international travel. The new executive order outlines steps that administration plans to take in order to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And Section 5 of the new policy includes a portion that might make traveling to the United States a very complicated situation for some pro wrestling companies. So it reads like this for international travel for Section 5. It is the policy of my administration that, to the extent feasible, travelers seeking to enter the United States from a foreign country shall be, A, required to produce proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test prior to entry, and B, required to comply with other applicable CDC guidelines concerning international travel, including recommended periods of self-quarantine or self-isolation after entry into the United States. It also mentioned that AEW was flying pack in for Dynamite tapings, but a quarantine might need to be factored into that now. And other pro wrestling companies were also planning to fly in people from Europe and Japan. This tightening of the policy is one of the first steps of the Biden administration COVID-19 plans. Fellas, we're still talking about COVID. We're still in this. We're going to be in this for a minute. But this is something to think about. What do you think about this policy that is now in place? First off, do you agree with it? Do you agree with it? Even though you see that what negative or maybe positive effects it may have onto the people in the world and also the wrestlers.
It sucks, but it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like for me as a fan, it does suck. Mm-hmm. Because I can see how that's going to really affect a lot of booking, a lot of getting, you know, flying people over, like, you know, but it does need to get done, especially with this new strain. We don't know that much about it. Mm-hmm. We have vaccines. We don't know what the result's going to be, if it stops the spread or if it stops a person from getting it. It's just so much we don't know. And it needs to happen. So I'm going to say it sucks, but it needs to happen.
Do you guys feel that it's that difficult to just produce a negative COVID-19 test before entry? I mean, no. Is that really a difficult thing? Go ahead, Sensity.
No, man. I honestly don't think that that's too big of an ordeal. Requiring, you know, vaccinations versus requiring a negative COVID test. There's no even comparison between the two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is not a big ordeal. If we were to require, you know, a vaccination in order to enter the country or something of that nature, then I would see that there could be some obstacles.
And, you know, but, in the possibility, I was watching the news and they said that the cruise lines, at least one cruise line, has decided that when they start back up in May, you will actually have to show that you've been vaccinated. Yep. Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, Cincinnati Steve, this sucks, because that's what the next thing's going to be. And it's not me trying to catastrophize, prophesize. It just, that's unfortunately where it's going to be. And it just sucks because I know how bad that's going
to
get.
Yeah, I just want to add that, Cincinnati, that, yeah, you're right, that this is definitely a lot easier than showing that you've been, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big ordeal. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I think that when everything kind of rolled out with the plan and the executive order, I think that obviously the first reaction is always, you know, one of, oh shit, this is going to cripple the business. But realistically, I mean, providing a negative test result, I mean, that's very simple to do. So.
Yeah. Matt Michaels, the other part, though, is saying that you have to follow the CDC guidelines, which is recommending periods of self-quarantine or self-isolation. I guess in terms of when it comes to wrestling, I guess it's to say that if you, you know, if you're going to do work here, you should just make sure you plan in advance to know that you need at least, you know, maybe those 14 days possibly before you should get started. You get started to doing what you want to do out here. As long as that's understood, that shouldn't really cause an issue for wrestlers to travel here, correct?
Yeah, it's this is kind of a, in a sense, a non-story.
Sure.
But we're going to pretend it is. No. I'm saying it's another one of those where here you have someone who works for a company who needs to get something out there.
Sure.
And this is something that just happens to be in the news. But the honest answer is this. The company's already been doing this, essentially. Mm-hmm. Look, Moxley went over to Japan. You had a quarantine. You know, there's anyone coming in or going out, you've been in isolation after you've gotten there. The companies, if they have to fly someone in, they're going to adjust that schedule. Hopefully they're smart enough to put them up in a, you know, hotel or wherever for, you know, some kind of bubble for 14 days, 10 days, whatever it is. Is it really a big loss if Pac doesn't make it to the United States? I don't know. I think his four fans might be, you know, a little ticked off.
I was happy to see him.
Good. I'm glad you were.
I guess I was one of the four then, apparently.
Yeah. But it just comes down to, you know, the companies are going to do what they're going to do. I don't think it's going to be any kind of stress on the business, because those people who are here, if you want to be a professional wrestler and you want to do the United States, then you follow the fucking protocols.
That's right.
I don't know where this big, you know, and again, this is, I think, one of those over-reporting things where, boy, they just love these stories about the idea of New Japan and, you know, AEW swapping talent, or, you know, ROH and, you know, New Japan, or, and it's always usually focused around New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
right,
like,
right, yeah.
No one is saying, you know, because to me, my first thought is, boy, I really want to see fucking Walter get over here.
Yeah. I've actually thought about that before. I would love to see Walter get over here.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Especially after this NXT that I saw. I was hoping Walter would come in too.
So, you know, so that to me is like, when I think of someone who's already established that, you know, that, you know, you're just missing out of that mix that would be nice, is not the fantasy of having, you know, so-and-so from Japan come over and wrestle, you know, a five-star match and, you know, in the Daily Plaza Center, whatever daily thing it is.
Daily Place.
Place, yeah.
Daily Place.
I think Steve hit it on the head, too. It becomes more complicated when you're talking vaccines. But these guys are already fucking getting the tests. They fucking do a fight island, for fuck's sake, where you want to talk about strict and getting tested and et cetera, et cetera. That's essentially, if you really want to work with a company outside of the States, then you have that type of process.
Right.
It's already been blueprinted by UFC. So what the fuck?
Well, and I don't want to take it too deep, because I know we're limited on time, but the thing that pops in my head is, okay, Drew McIntyre coming up with a negative test, all right, and realizing who he had a match with the week prior. Now, I don't know what their taping schedule is, so that probably has a lot to do with it. But then I think of what is the actual protocol, and that's why I worry sometimes, and I try not to think too much, to where eventually we'll get the vaccine. And it's not me trying to put fear in the world, but I'm saying, because – if they find out that a vaccine is a silver bullet per se, okay, they know that's the one way to document people. Okay, we know that you're safe. If not, we where we currently are right now, you do have to go to a protocol. And as I know, because I've worked in jobs where you have to follow protocol, it can't always be consistent. You have to put a lot of money and resources to making sure protocols are consistent. And I got to be honest with you, they've done good so far. But I worry.
But the whole thing is, though, that your comparison, or I think what's getting lost here is that this is a general travel. It's not even a travel ban. It's just steps, right? And that's really when it focuses on you or me or Steve or DJ wanting to go to another country, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing. People who are in the fucking wrestling business with these big companies and stuff, again, the protocol's already in place, all right? So they have the money to facilitate that stuff. And I think that, you know, essentially, are we really missing out on much if, you know, certain people can't come over?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Now,
I don't think we are. No, I mean, for the most part. But there are some people who did get butt hurt.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking, you know, here's an example. You brought up Drew. Mm-hmm. If Drew had happened to go back to Scotland, you know, in February for some odd reason, maybe a family member passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're like, they have to, the WWE would have to do everything in their power to basically private jet them,
yeah,
so that they can do all the steps and keep them and in
do
a
the
bubble.
two week mandatory quarantine, yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying is, I don't think there's any wrestlers off the top of my head that fit that bill, outside of the possibility of seeing someone like Moxley in Japan defending a title, right? Or mm-hmm. one of those guys coming over here to defend a title or something like that, which is totally unnecessary right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to worry about doing it. And for fuck's sake, they've been dealing with it in this business since, you know, things went upside down anyway. So I think that it's more of a concern for the everyday citizens who are just traveling, especially on business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, it's funny. You did say that. Does that also affect WWE personnel or anything like that? I mean, because we never really talk about it, but how much of like any company personnel, just the regular personnel, do they travel for family and stuff? I'm just bringing up the question. Well, would that affect them who have to visit their family?
The whole WWE camera crew is actually from Uganda. So
Dad, I'm not sure if you're serious, because that's a lot of people to just hit it off from Uganda. But I was just asking in general.
Oh boy,
because you know, I mean, that would suck. I'm just saying. That was fucking good though, because I think it's like fucking Uganda. Where'd you pull that out of your ass at?
Let's go over to our third topic.
Fucking street.
Yeah. from whatculture.com, and it's titled the. Of course, WWE Royal Rumble is coming up this week, and they have possible 10 surprise entrants we could see. So I'm just going to run down the 10. The question I'm going to ask you guys is pretty much what surprise you think you would like to see, and you don't have to choose from one of these 10 if you don't like. Maybe you have another name you want to throw in there. And I'm also curious, while we're in it, maybe you would like to throw in who you believe is going to win the Rumble. All right, so it's kind of a two-part question. What surprise person you see and who you think will win it? So from what culture, their top 10 surprise entrants we could see, 10, Samoa Joe, number 9, Eva Marie, number 8, Wade Barrett, number 7, Ronda Rousey, number 6, Damian Priest, number 5, Rhea Ripley, number 4, Edge, number 3, Brock Lesnar, number 2, Becky Lynch, and number 1, The Rock. Man, all right. Guys, I'll let you, whichever one to start. What surprise entrance you think we could see coming up this weekend? And who do you think is going to win the damn thing? I know this is tough, right?
I'm thinking, honestly, I like the Samoa Joe pick.
Okay.
I don't like the Rock pick because they're not going to have fans in attendance. Right. And I think that moment shouldn't be wasted on no fans, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, they could achieve, you know, a decent level of surprise, and getting Joe back into the fold actually could be a pretty good surprise. Especially hell, have him on commentary during the match. Seriously, have him on commentary during the match. And then he's got his gear on underneath of like his suit or whatever he's wearing at ringside. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a really interesting wrinkle.
Have him get dumped out within 10 seconds.
And he goes sit back down. Have him
not remember like they used to do with Lawler.
Yes.
don't remember you were even in it.
That's awesome. Now, as far as who I think will win.
Yeah.
I don't think Daniel Bryan will win. I think that they've been saying that a little bit too much on TV for it to actually be the full payoff. I think he will be like in the final four, but I genuinely, and you guys might laugh, mm-hmm. but I heard some rumblings that they were extremely high on this person.
Okay.
And I could see Shinsuke Nakamura winning the Rumble again this year.
Interesting.
I thought you were going to pick the same person I was going to pick. I was actually nervous. I was actually nervous because I thought you were going to pick the one person going to say, and I'm glad you didn't.
Let me throw this. I know I didn't tell you guys I was going to throw this in, but what about for the women's? Do you have an idea who you think may win that one?
I mean, are you asking?
If you want, you can come back to Sin City. I could come back to you. And
come back to me.
We'll come back to you. Okay. Let me go over to you, Cyber Street.
Is it twofold? Can I pick for the Women's Royal Rumble and for the men for both set of questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right, let me know your surprise entrance you'd like to see as well. So go ahead.
I'm going to start off with that. So surprise entrance for me, just more because I'd be shocked and surprised. And damn, if you can pop a baby out and show up to the Royal Rumble in the same almost 9 month period, kudos to you, Becky Lynch. If she pop out, I would be ecstatic.
Gotcha.
Don't think it's gonna happen. That would be cool. That's my surprise entry for the women.
Okay.
Long shot. Men's. Not that he's gonna win. I'm gonna call it Jason Jordan. Y'all can laugh at me. Go ahead, laugh at me.
Jason Jordan.
Yeah, I said it. Laugh at me.
Okay. I'll laugh.
Because there's been some rumblings that he has intentions he would like to.
He should have been your surprise entrance.
So you go. That's what I said, my surprise entrance. I didn't say he was going to win. I said for the men's surprise entrance. That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said. No. I said
not that he's going to win, a surprise entrance.
I said it's a
long shot.
Okay? Interesting.
Now, for the winners, I feel like for the women's, Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble.
All right.
Don't ask me why. You can talk about. We'll talk about it afterwards. Now, for the men, who I was going to pick, Sin City Steve. Cesaro, but the last person he has to eliminate is Shinsuke. I think it is Cesaro's time. I think it'd be perfect. I think that if you're going to have anybody go up against, the champ, you know, the head of the table, because I think he'll go that direction, just be honest with you. Cesaro would be a perfect pick, I think. I think he's violent on all cylinders. Those are my picks.
Charlotte Flair is the pick for the women for me, by the way.
Who was it again?
Charlotte.
Or Charlotte. Okay. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost about to say that's a given.
I didn't want to go that direction, but it is an obvious pick.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go over to you, Matt Michaels.
Let me piggyback on that because it's fresh.
Yeah.
And that is this. The reason you have Charlotte win is to face Asuka. And the story going in, Asuka has not beaten her at WrestleMania. I think you have Charlotte do the favor to Asuka. And then that establishes, finally, Asuka as being legitimately one of the top women in the business.
Mm.
That's what I would do. Another way I would go... Now, this list... My problem with the list... is that none of these people are actually surprising to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is, okay, Wade Barrett and Samoa Joe are both your commentary people, right? I don't want to see Wade Barrett wrestling. Just let him be a commentator. And same with Joe. As much as I love Joe at this point, unless he's 100% healthy and ready to go back to – he's entertaining. Don't put your body through it, you know? Continue to get healthy and live a healthier life than, you know, getting beat up because he's been doing it for 20 years now. Eva Marie, for fuck's sake, I don't see how she would be a surprise at all or add anything other than a body to the actual Rumble. Damian Priest and Rhea, everyone has basically indicated that both of them are being called up anyway. So again, not a surprise per se. Edge, listen, it was a great surprise last year, but this year, like the article says, it's really kind of a who cares moment in that term, to have them coming back to, you know, limited fan or no fans in this case. Becky Lynch, possibility, more possibility than Ronda, I would say. I don't know why you would bring Ronda back to an empty arena. The Rock, for fuck's sake, just let it go. Just let it go.
Keep it the same way I happens, do.
Yeah, if it happens, it will happen, but it will happen. It will happen once COVID is in a place where you don't have to do all the testing and all the quarantining, because of the fact that, as the article mentions, there are insurance companies on all of these productions that The Rock is involved with. And the last thing that they're going to want him doing is actually going in the ring with someone face to face and breathing and sweating and bleeding all over. So,
right.
I don't buy that. I do think that this would be very interesting for the men. It's not a surprise again, but Brock Lesnar, I say, wins it. And the reason being is that you have a storyline waiting for this gift of Paul Heyman having to now decide, is he with the family or is he with his client? Since the beginning, Brock Lesnar.
But you know what? This is the chance for him to make better, because they did the same thing with CM Punk, if you remember. And they didn't take it that far. Because remember, I remember he was managing CM Punk for a minute, like he was a Paul Heyman guy, I remember. And Brock Lesnar came back into the picture, but I felt like they didn't pull the trigger exactly as eloquently as you said. That I would like to see happen.
Yeah, because really, if you think about it, that really wasn't as much of a big deal.
Yeah.
If you have it done like this, the idea is you have Brock Lesnar and you have Roman Reigns, who have had matches before. It's, you know, it's nothing new, but the factor that we haven't seen is Paul Heyman, which could actually make this one of the most unbelievable matches in terms of how you hype it up and how you get it worked up. And it would be phenomenal, because you wouldn't know which way Paul would actually lean.
Yeah.
And in a sense, because Roman's such a big heel, that would put Brock in a face light, which we haven't seen in a long time. So that's an interesting aspect. Or because Roman is getting so over, maybe this is the opportunity for Paul to screw Roman, and eventually, you know, you make Brock the heel and Roman's face. I would hate to see that happen. I think they'd be committing suicide by doing that.
Right.
Making him face again would just, you know, people would just be so pissed.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise entrance, I think, and when it comes down to it, I think that on the women's side, we're going to probably see a surprise entrant in someone from NXT that you didn't expect.
What, like Aaliyah?
So, like who? Like Aaliyah? I was thinking more of an Ember Moon, you know, some along those lines that are a little more seasoned than Aaliyah.
Sorry, Lee, I love you. I just came up.
But there is, listen, there's just a nagging, just a little nagging part of me that wants to say Tessa Blanchard.
Now, dude, that would be fucking fire. I'm losing my bowl of popcorn on some shit like
that.
I'm not gonna lie.
I was just about to mention that being the surprise is Tessa. Because I was thinking Tessa, I was going between Tessa and even possibly Taya. You know, but out of those two, I see Tessa. Yeah.
Now, realistically, out of those two, though, I see Taya.
Yeah.
which I would still lose some popcorn out of my bowl because Taya is fucking amazing. And I would just think in my smart little mind that does pop up sometimes, where the fuck she going to go? What's she going to do?
You know, you have two different situations. Tessa's been out of the eye of the tiger. So it really would be a sweeping surprise. Taya, on the other hand, has the ties to John being there and has an established reputation and is such an experienced worker that you put her in the ring and you do not worry at all that she won't make the girls look good. She makes anyone she works with look like a fucking $1 million. So that would be very, very, you know, either of those two would be great. On the men's side, you know what? I want to go with Jimmy Uso. Bring John back, bring Jimmy back, and maybe, you know, we start to see that now we have a tag team in the dynasty that can, you know, get some tag team gold, and then you have Roman with the strap. And so now you start seeing a little buildup of the family having
bloodline. Some... The bloodline, which I think is copyrighted now. I think they might have copyrighted that bad boy. They've been saying it enough, the bloodline.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised that at some point we see a pay-per-view called Bloodline.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? And so, have them literally just run rush.
Right now, Uncle Bruce, he's going for Bloodline.
Bloodline. Said it a couple of times, but we didn't know. Right.
It'll be done by 8 a.m. in the morning. Yep. It'll be copyrighted.
Just put in brackets to the side. Biggest bad boys of podcasting. So just one day, if you happen to see us at the event with a shirt on, I'm just saying, you ain't got to roll out the red carpet, bro. Right. But let a brother at least have some coupons at the merch table. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Oh, well, hey, good stuff, guys. Some pretty good predictions there. I definitely agree with Tessa. And I got to tell you, I actually agree with Simon with Cesaro. This guy, I know that he's comfortable and they're comfortable with him being a mid-carder. But boy, when you saw what he did to Dolph Ziggler, and it's just not Dolph. I mean, we can go by all types of names he's went through. Of course, you always have to go, oh, man, but, you know, how can he, you know, can he sell the pay-per-view with him and Roman, you know, but
remember here, and this is, I'm glad you just said that because I was going to ask you on this. You don't have to have him go against Roman.
Mm-hmm. True.
You can have him go against Drew. And quite honestly, that is a way better matchup.
Yep.
Because there's no one really that you can kind of look at right now and go, Drew would be good with this person that stands out.
Right.
Cesaro, it would fit. It would just fit. The storyline and everything you could do with that would fit. You put him against Roman, it's, you know.
You know he'll probably lose. Let's be honest. It would be a great match.
Even if he went, it's not the same level of a Roman Reigns against a bigger name.
The match with him and Drew would be awesome. The selling of that leading up to that, I'm not sure if Cesaro could do that. Could he, get you interested enough. We were interested because we know his strength and Drew's strength, that it will be a battle. But in terms of him selling the saying how he can dominate Drew on camera, yes. Can he even do that? Yes. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay.
Yes. And, okay. And I'm glad you said that, because when I think of Cesaro and what Michaels was talking about with Drew McIntyre, he really didn't have to do much other than go in there and really just dominate the fuck out of him. Dominate him like they want to make Lashley look like he dominates everybody, but really have him dominate. And it just throws Drew, because Drew wants to be a fighting champion. He wants to face every obstacle that he has in front of him. He's trying to essentially prove his worth as one of the great champions. So for him, he's not going to take that quietly. And he's going to look at that like, I need to dig deeper. And wherever the outcome will be, I think it'll be entertaining. But I just feel like right now Cesaro's white hot. We got to use – I'm saying we want to work for the fucking company. But I'm saying I hope that they utilize what he has right now.
Gotcha. The problem putting him against Roman is exactly what you said. You know, how do they do this with the buildup with him and Drew? You just – if you put him with Roman, all you're doing is relying on Roman, which doesn't put Cesaro in a good light. If you put him against Drew, and Drew is your true baby, see, that's the key here. Cesaro's still a heel.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So put him against your true baby, and that makes sense. Shinsuke.
Well, it sounds like you swallowing your spit the whole back to be nice.
Well, you can't. The problem is this. If you put Shinsuke against Roman Reigns, you can't have him go over.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you
it just doesn't, it doesn't equal, it doesn't add up. Shinsuke, if Shinsuke does go over in the Rumble, I think that's the same. I think whoever goes over this Rumble, be it not Brock Lesnar,
they won't go to
or a Roman name equivalent, they're going against Drew.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Michaels. Let's really look at this Cesaro versus Drew McIntyre. Okay, say he win the Royal Rumble. Who would not want to see long ass, tree ass Drew McIntyre going to Cesaro swing? I want to see that shit. I'm making bets. How many revolutions we getting to see that tall ass motherfucker go around in circles? I want to see that shit.
And we know he can do it.
I'm just saying that. Yeah. I'm betting 5 revolutions, because Drew is a big dude. He's a big dude. And Cesaro's tall, too, because I remember I ran into him when I was SmackDown in Vegas. I had to use the restroom. No. I was hanging out with somebody, and I walked past him and didn't realize he was that tall. I'm 6'3", and Cesaro was, like, this much taller than him. I was like, motherfucker. I was like, dude is big.
Yeah. Well, guys, that is our 3 count. And we're excited for Mania. I should have probably mentioned this in Wrestling Talk, but we're definitely going to start off next week's Wrestling Talk just talking about the Rumble is what it's all going to be about. So it's going to be very exciting. I think we may even jump on our app. I know we don't mention it much, but we do have an app on your iOS and your Android phones. Just type in Vegas Bad Boys with a Z and it'll come up. Download the app, you know, and we even have a little messenger on there. So we'll probably send out a notification before Rumble start the show. And if you want, just click on and you can talk with, you know, whichever one of us bad boys happen to be on. It should be a really good, great show. We're looking forward. So with that, our final thoughts.
Oh, really quick.
Yes.
Really quick.
Sure.
And that's a thought I had. We'll know if Ronda Rousey or Becky Lynch is coming back if the women's Rumble match is the closer of the show.
Yeah, okay. That is a very, very huge indicator. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yep. Man.
I feel like I hope it does happen, because right now, if you kind of look at women's wrestling, this is like the second evolution or our stepping period of women's wrestling as far as the WWE product, with everything that they're kind of doing, obviously with the Dusty Rhodes tag team class, women's tag team classic. But I've noticed a lot that they're really trying to put a lot of stock into women's wrestling division here in WWE. So that would be really amazing to see for them to close out Royal Rumble with that women's Royal Rumble. I want to see that because I believe in the women's division. Really do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What final thought you have, Simon Street?
That was my final thought.
Oh, that was? Okay.
That was it.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right, Sin City.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing. And we do this for you. So thank you for being a part of the community. And special shout out and special thank you to every member of our armed forces serving our amazing country on lands, both foreign and domestic. Also, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there. Check out all of your wellness needs, your pre-workout, your energy drink, your weight loss needs. They got it all. Mm-hmm. Repsports.com. Promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
Absolutely. Matt Michaels.
You know, for those of you listening on the podcast apps, you will hear this interview down the line a little bit. But tomorrow, if you're on Facebook or Twitch or another, you know, platform that we stream on, YouTube, we'll be jumping on 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 o'clock Eastern time, with Jason Dugan in Florida. We're gonna do the first streamed interview, live streamed interview here, to get, you know, give you guys a chance to watch live, and then we'll be releasing it at a later date. But just a little treat for anyone who happens to be doing nothing on a Monday at the end of January. So especially you kids in California who have to stay home.
Damn, way to dig the knife in.
Absolutely. We also get sometimes people who want to say, hey, we love what you do. We want to support the show. How can we do that? If you have Cash App, our tag name is pretty much Vegas Bad Boys with a Z. Okay? Vegas Bad, B-A-D-B-O-Y-Z. And send us whatever. You know, if you want to help out from a dollar to, hey, you want to throw $1,000, it's all good. All that money is going to go towards us helping to build what you enjoy, and we're going to put all that to promoting. So for those who was interested in that, thank you very much. Until then, we will see you all next week for Royal Rumble. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.